Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo and AJ coming at you live as the Avs have officially made their waiver claim of the season. It's by law. They have to do one every year, it seems. So they've done it. Dryden Hunt, before we get into Hunt, how much does this say that the Avs are uncomfortable with their current depth options, AJ?
I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, we watched them import from the AHL three guys, drop them into a game, and then demote two of them immediately after the game, likely for cap purposes. But
now there's a dude in their way.
Yeah, also, Dryden Hunt got put on waivers yesterday. They knew that they had put that claim in.
Yep.
So, it's pretty obvious, man, that they don't love the depth that they have right now, and they're looking for a little something.
Yeah, and, you know, there's varying pieces of that, them knowing Darren Helm did start skating again today, but is still in a no-contact jersey, so we'll see how close he actually is. You know, we saw Evan Rodriguez go to the x-ray room the other night. Maybe there's some other factors here. That's all I'm saying. But
yeah,
with the Avs depth, it just hasn't quite connected. Obviously losing Sedlak, maybe the Avs felt like opened up another spot to go get someone and fill that 13th, 14th forward role, which is, in a healthy lineup, I would assume that is the role that Dryden Hunt would fill. In the Avs' current lineup, I'm assuming he's going to play indefinitely until Helm comes back.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how long he sticks in the lineup, but this is a guy that, at least at the NHL level, has proven that he's a passable depth player.
Yep.
Had a career-high 17 points last year, so you're not really looking for a whole lot of offense out of this guy.
He's your typical defensive depth forward, right?
Yeah. Like, well, he made the NHL by working hard and being physical and chipping in just enough offensively to hang, and by being sound defensively. He does not play on the penalty kill. He does not play on the power play. He's really not. This is like totally unspectacular.
Yep.
In every way. Like Dryden Hunt is a fine option, like one of many like fourth line guys around the league that are pretty interchangeable, but for the Avs, just with the injuries that they've already had and with them not liking what they've seen out of their guys already, and then losing Sedlak on waivers so they don't get a chance to see more of him. This is fine. It's inexpensive, money wise. And it's just, yeah, he doesn't even play the PK. So.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is a guy who put up 15 points last year. This is you're hoping it's more closer to Darren Helm than it is Anton Bleed, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I think the question saying Knack 2.0, like, you'd love that.
If the Avs claimed him. Of shooter, but yeah.
Yeah, well, if they claimed him and they got 22 points out of that guy, plus, like, just the general reliability of him being fine in their bottom six all season long, great.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be awesome. I'd probably not realistic as far as the production goes, but
yeah, and well, and like the Abe Kubel waiver claim went really well. Like,
yeah, it did. And
what's been kind of amazing is that Colorado's waiver claims in recent years have gone more positive than negative.
The only where one they've
gotten some guys,
yeah. The only one that really didn't work was Dano that I can remember.
Like, we'd have to get back into like the Bodner Chuck days.
Yeah, if you're like you're getting back into 2016.
Yeah, like we'd really have to go into some history where a lot of the organization was so different back then.
Yeah.
But no, he You're right in that, like, it was really Marco Dano with the current front office regime.
Well, Dano's the perfect example of why not, right? Because if it doesn't work out, you just toss that dude back on waivers, and then he's not your problem anymore.
Yeah. He got, like, reclaimed by the Jets, and yep. Everybody moved on. But no, with Hunt, like, you're talking about, like, I don't want to make it sound like he's nothing because guys like this are important. You know, like you do need a baseline level of player at the bottom of your roster, like a passable, like solid. This guy can help you out a little bit, but the big thing is that he doesn't hurt you. You know, like fine. He's a fine fourth line addition. The Avs are obvious. Like, Dryden Hunt is a better, more proven NHL option than Jason Megna.
Yep. Hunt has 160 games, by the way, in the NHL.
Anton Bleed, like all of those guys, Dryden Hunt has been
more established,
a little bit better. Yep. So this is like the true min maxing of the roster here.
Yep.
Where like you upgrade at the fringes of it, and like last year was the first time that he's ever had a regular role in the NHL.
Yeah, he has bounced around Florida and Arizona before New York. So
yeah, 76 games played, by far the most of his career. He had 17 points. He had 6 goals. He had 1 goal this year against the Jets. I liked that part of it. He had 153 hits last year.
So definitely throws the body around a little bit.
Yeah. He averaged 12 minutes of ice time. Now, what I think is a little bit concerning, he averaged 12 minutes of ice time, played 3 playoff games.
Yeah. Didn't want to play that guy in a run where the New York Rangers went to the conference final. So they had lots of games to play.
Yeah, and I think he played like 1 game in each round.
Yeah.
Like, it was, and like, look, the same thing happened last year with Knack, right?
Right. Like, he ended up on the bench for.
Yeah, he ended up getting scratched for the majority of that cup run.
Yep.
But was a regular during the season. So, this is a guy that he should be able to help a little bit. I guess we could just get to the fancy stats now.
Yeah, sure. If you want to dive into those.
Yeah. If you could just pull up, I don't know, any of the 3 that I sent you.
YOLO it.
Yeah, so this was the Jay Fresh card that I pulled from last year. As you see, defensively, he's very good. The big appeal there, bad things don't happen. Drives a little bit of play. What I did like about this, that competition number. This is a guy that has gotten stronger assignments
yep.
than a typical fourth line guy will get. And that is encouraging that his defensive results are as good as they are against mediocre competition like that. Like, that is not bottom tier competition. That's more like what you would see out of a third line guy.
Right. There's some hope that if a team tries to hunt that matchup on home ice, he can hold his own, right?
That's exactly it. That when on the road, when the other team gets to dictate matchups a little bit more, because this is exactly what we saw in Minnesota, is Dean Evason hunted Colorado's fourth line with the Kaprizov line, and it ended up going disastrously for Colorado, yep. Where the Avs ended up in their own zone constantly and just got smoked.
Yeah. I do like that side of it. Am a little bit concerned about the finishing ability in a bottom six that we've seen has not been finishing basically at all so far this season.
Fourth line guys are fourth line guys for a reason, right? If they were good finishers, they'd be third line guys or they'd be second line guys, right? Like,
you're not wrong, but there's also in between 0 and 100 there, you know.
In between 0 and 100, he's at 4. So, he has 13 goals in 168 NHL games.
That is not a lot of goal scoring.
This is where the Nicholas Ave Kubel stuff should stop. Because Ave, like, Knack could score some goals.
Yep.
You might even say he had a...
Knack for it? Oh, my God.
No, with Hunt, though, like... I mean... I'm not going to say what I want to say. I'm just going to, like, I'm trying to temper some expectations. Hey, like, 13 goals in 168 games across the last 6 years. Don't have really high expectations for this guy to come in and pot a couple of goals. The 11 last year from Ave Kubel would be a dream.
Look, I think what you're looking at here, you mentioned the hits. What did Jared Bednar say he liked about Anton Bleed? He called him a loud player.
Yeah. Well,
Anton Bleed gets into an NHL game. He was not very loud, was he?
Yeah, it was a pretty quiet performance.
Maybe they're bringing this guy in and just asking him, hey, run around, run into stuff, be Curtis McDermott, but have some puck skill. You know, they don't want... Or they don't expect, rather, their fourth line to really produce any offense at the moment.
I would say continuing on our how does he compare to a Nicholas Ave Kubel? Remember when he got to Colorado last year, Knack had a big penalty problem.
He sure did.
Well, last year, Dryden Hunt was fourth on the Rangers in minor penalties. You average 12 minutes of ice time and you take 15 minors.
Yeah, it's a lot of penalties.
That's a lot of penalties, man. It's a lot of penalties. Now, he drew a fair share.
Yeah.
So,
made up some of it at least. Yeah.
He is actually in the positive of penalties drawn versus penalties taken. He drew 20 last season and he took 18. So, he had two majors and a misconduct, but 15 minors is definitely a lot.
52 penalty minutes total on the season last year. So,
yeah. And two majors and a misconduct. That's 20 of those penalty minutes.
Yeah. So 32 real penalty minutes.
Yeah. So, anyway, the thing that you're talking with Hunt is too many penalties, not a lot of special teams acumen here. At least last season, he did not play the PK for the Rangers. And to be honest with you, he doesn't need to in Colorado.
They have the guys for the PK.
Like part already. Like Logan O'Connor, Andrew Cogliano, when he gets back, Darren Helm, Arturi Lehkonen, JT Compher, Val Nichushkin.
They're covered.
They really don't need Dryden Hunt to play the PK for them. Because even if you take Nichushkin out of there and replace him with Hunt, that's your fifth forward. So, and of those guys, one of them that I've named is a center that has, like, face-off winning ability that you rely on.
Yep.
So, yeah. Like, Hunt is just, he doesn't need to do that. You know what he needs to do? He needs to come in and stabilize, help stabilize a little bit of their fourth line.
And just get it been all over the place. Yep.
Exactly. And help try and get it to a baseline level of this is acceptable. Yep. Because as we're gonna see, can you bring up the heat map one? The isolated heat map for us. This is last year. You see, doesn't drive play, but doesn't stop play offensively, and very good defensive impact here.
Yep.
That's really encouraging. As you see, the penalties on the right side, a little bit on the wrong side of the balance there, but not such a problem. Finishing and setting, not great. Obviously, especially the finishing. It's obvious that he's not much of a shooter.
Yep.
But you like the isolated impact, and if you if we could switch to his entire career, you'll see that the defensive impact that he had last year, pretty consistent with his actual career.
Yeah, it's honestly, I think the most encouraging chart of the three was his career impacts. Here, I can bring it up. Maybe.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's because consistently you're seeing that defensively he's been very, very solid in his own end. And every once in a while, man, he drives a little bit of play.
Yep. And you know, given these charts, you live with the offense. Whatever he gives you, great. And then you're hoping for that -5 to -8 range on the defensive side where, again, the Avs are a hockey team constructed where as long as their fourth line doesn't lose them a game, that's fine.
Yeah. Keep in mind, for people that are unfamiliar, these percentages are relative to league average. And negative numbers on defense are good and positive numbers on offense are good. So when it says -8.6 expected goals against or for percentage on defense, that means he's just under 9% better defensively than your average NHL forward.
Yep.
So that's a really good number. That's a really, really good number, honestly. His skating, since a couple of you guys have all asked this at the same time, he's a fine skater. It's not a mess. I don't think that it's a standout skill. You're not going to confuse him with the Darren Helm or an Andrew Cogliano, where it's a major asset into his game. But I don't think it's a problem either. So
good enough to keep up.
Yeah, I think it'll be like he's not going to look like a sore thumb again. Just going back to their successful claim last year on Knack. Knack wasn't. Next, pretty quick, but
yeah, he was a decent skater.
I would say it's closer to Knack than it is to a Cogliano or a Helm or an O'Connor. Like, you're not going to see him. You're not going to see him blazing up and down the ice every night.
There has to be some positional intelligence. He can't just skate his way out of problems.
He's really not that guy, but it's certainly not a problem.
Well, if you don't want to stick out like a sore thumb on the golf course, Pins and Aces has you covered. DNVR's official golf merchandiser. You can check them out at pinsandaces.com and use code DNVR to get 15% off your first order, plus free shipping. Again, pinsandaces.com. They have all of your golf apparel and business apparel stuff as well. So that's polos, hats, golf bags, all sorts of awesome clothing. Also have beer sleeves. You can stick them right in your golf bag. It holds 7 beers. You can bring them right onto the golf course super easily with you. Highly recommend these guys if you haven't checked them out. They make a bunch of amazing hats, particularly.
Sounds really convenient.
Yep.
A beer sleeve.
Yep. You're just good to go. You don't have to awkwardly stuff them into your bag or do any of that awkward stuff.
Yeah.
Just in there. We
got our beach cooler with us.
Just lugging it onto the golf course.
You got a caddy for your cooler and a caddy for your bag.
That costs extra. All right. Also brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. You can use code DNVR when you go over there and sign up for a new account. When you use the DNVR code, you can now get all your stuff boosted 100% with stepped up in-game parlays. So highly recommend you get on that. They also have a bet going for new customers where you bet $5 on any NBA team on the money line and you get $200 in free bets if your team wins. So maybe stay away from the Nuggets blowing games, but you know, bet on a team that you know is going to win.
Bro, too soon.
That's okay. The Nuggets can be mad at me. I'll continue making money on DraftKings instead. So check out DraftKings today. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. I want to get into this conversation a little bit. And it's mostly focused on Ben Myers, but you can throw out names like Mikhail Maltsev and Shane Bowers down this line as well. How does this affect their opportunities with the Evs, having Hunt now ahead of them?
Well, as much as I'm tempted to be like, really hurts their chances, they called up three guys a week into the season, and none of them were among that group.
That's true.
So those guys had
already hurt. Yeah,
exactly. Those guys had more to prove. They have. We heard Bednar say, especially talking about Bowers, that look, I've liked his camp. I like this and that, but he needs to go down there and he needs to be a consistent impact player before I believe that he's ready to help us.
Yep. And
two Eagles games was not going to convince him of that.
And that side of it, understandable. The bigger conversation for me is Ben Myers. What's the plan there? We had talked about how
his
lack of waiver eligibility means they can kind of float him back and forth a little bit more than some of those other guys.
Yeah, I think Myers just needs to have some consistency. Because you do keep in mind this was a guy that jumped into the fire at the end of last season and just did not have a good preseason and start to the year. It was very slow. And he needs to be playing bigger minutes. He needs puck touches. He needs to be adjusting to some of the speed of the game. He needs to get all that stuff in because Myers is not in a situation like all these other guys, you know, who have been in the AHL for a few years and are just pushing on the ceiling, trying to figure out if they're ever going to be able to get it open.
Yeah.
Myers has a lot more flexibility in time. And with Myers, they can really kind of wait and see, and just see how he adjusts to the AHL, how he handles the assignment before they bring him back. They can really take their time and do a lot more of a traditional path with him at this point.
Sure.
Traditional path has not historically been productive for the Avalanche organization. Most of their guys that have been development successes have been aggressively promoted.
Yep.
But true. Look, this is really on Myers. You know, if he goes down to the AHL and he shows well, you know, do what Logan O'Connor did. If he does that, he won't need to spend as much time in the AHL as LOC did.
Are you realistic looking at somewhere between LOC and the Alex Newhook 10-game stretch?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Newhook is your best-case scenario where 10 games go by and, you know, the team gets back from its Finland trip and Myers comes back and never looks and never leaves again.
Yeah.
That's, I think for me, that's probably best case scenario.
Sure.
LOC would also be fine, but it does not help them much this year.
Right. You get 15, 20 games out of them this year. Yeah. Really.
And that's a big disappointment because they really, Myers is an important guy for them, for their depth this year. to keep them from having to go out and trade for somebody. Yep. We talked about it on last night's show that the Avs don't really have a ton of assets to go dancing with right now. They don't, because they don't need, the Avs don't really need, at least at the moment, they don't need like a big splashy deal because they've got a first round pick. They've got an Oscar Olsson. Like, yep. They have a first round pick and a top prospect. They've got a good young defenseman in Sean Behrens. They can play in the big fish water
if they want to.
Yeah. If they want to, yeah. But they haven't, like, it's not really what they need yet. We'll see how the 2C situation develops as the year goes on, and maybe my mind has changed on that. But for right now, like, the middle of their lineup is too soft. In that it's just not, it's not producing anything.
You
it's
have
not playing
one
very well.
Goal out of your bottom six so yeah. far this season.
I don't mean soft in play style. I just mean it's just so uncertain and so unproven.
Too inconsistent.
Yeah. Too much that they are like Andrew Cogliano very clearly, like on a third line, like play just stops with him at this point.
He's over his head at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. And we saw it with LOC at the start of the year in those first couple of games. And we've seen it consistently with Logan O'Connor. When he gets put in a third line position,
he bangs against that ceiling real fast.
It becomes really obvious that that's his limitation. And outside of 2 weeks last season where he went crazy and we were,
we rode the wave. Games. Yeah.
Which is why that shirt you're wearing exists. We rode that wave, and
it was a sick 2 weeks, and it'll be a sick 2 weeks this season too. But then he'll go back to being a fourth liner.
Exactly. So with Myers, he's an important guy for them to have some success with at some point this year to get back up to be an effective player. Because his speed and his IQ really is a very nice fit in Colorado and just needs a touch more of that. Just needs to consistently tap into the things that make him a quality player.
And look, in a perfect world, the Avs are fully healthy. Landy's in the lineup, Helm's in the lineup, and you really have one spot that you're talking about.
And now Hunt is in that mix, and if Hunt wins a job over the next month or two, there you go.
Yep. So, under perfect health conditions, there's not a ton to fill. The reality is also, they're never going to be fully healthy. That's just how hockey is.
I also think, though, that, we talked about bringing back Helm and Cogliano.
Yeah.
And... like, those guys were obviously warriors in the postseason.
Yep.
But you do have an 82-game regular season that you need to get through in order to qualify for that postseason. And they need to it's not irrelevant. They do need to win games, and they need to have a bottom six group that's more competitive than it has been. And I think what you don't love is that with LOC, with Cogliano, with Helm, and now with Dryden Hunt, you've got four guys that you're comfortable with in a fourth-line role.
Yeah.
But only in a fourth-line role.
No one can really climb the ladder, as it were.
Yeah.
Which is...
and
it was part of the hope for Ben Myers was that he can move up in the lineup once he gets settled. But
And you've gotten a slow start out of JT Compher.
Yep, 1 point.
You've gotten a slow start out of Alex Newhook. You've gotten a slow start out of Evan Rodriguez. So you don't even feel like, and at 5v5, let's be honest, you've gotten a slow start out of Valeri Nichushkin.
Yep.
And so you're saying beyond that top line.
You really have, at 5v5, you really have no production.
Yeah.
You have one goal from your fourth line. That was a fluke tip by Ben Myers. And you have a bunch of power play goals. I guess you have one 5v5 goal from Val Nichushkin.
Yeah, and you have the 5v5 goal from Cogliano.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Would and
another tip on a
you'll take it
ship.
Wherever you can get it, but a lot of that depth production is coming through defensemen.
Well, and the Cogliano one, McKinnon.
Yep.
So, you know, not a PS, Andrew Cogliano, not a regular line mate of Nathan McKinnon's.
It was a that shift was intentional, but it you don't want to be double shifting Nathan McKinnon for the entirety of the regular season just to get production out of your depth.
Right. Just to get those guys to do something. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's true. So, you don't want to be leaning on Mac that hard in October and November.
Yeah.
So this is the Hunt move is really just all about raising the floor of your roster, just getting to a certain baseline where it's not like this every night. You know, you're just trying to hum along at a certain frequency. I think my hands were on different levels when I did that, which is pretty appropriate.
Yeah,
for how it's gone for the app so far.
Okay. I mean, fair enough. And there's certainly no reason to doubt the Avs. They've been nails when it comes to waiver claims over the last 4 or 5 years. So give it some runway. Let's see what happens. We are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get some at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online. They're everywhere in the lower 48 states. So I know there's some of you Euros and Canadians out there that probably can't get it, but for the rest of you,
you just
go get yourself.
You just gotta get a designated American to bring you.
For Canada, for sure. I imagine it's a little bit harder for the Europeans, but you know, Canada, no excuses. Find a friend, get yourself some Breck Brew out there. For the locals, we're also brought to you by Green Mountain Dental Group. You can go over there, get a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with them, and they'll give you a free Sonicare toothbrush just for taking care of your teeth. Super awesome at what they do. They always send you reminders. Make sure you're on top of your dental work. Take it from me. You want to stay on top of your dental work. Otherwise, you're going to have a bad time with your teeth.
You're going to have a bad time.
Don't pizza when you should have french fry when you should have pizza, I guess, was the bad way. If you're french frying when you pizza, that's how you fly off a cliff. So don't do that.
Fly off cliffs, fam.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Make sure your teeth are nice and clean and healthy with Green Mountain Dental Group. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Anything left to add in this conversation, AJ, before we talk about a bunch of ugly jerseys?
Oh, so many ugly jerseys. No, I mean, we're going to talk more about it when we actually get to see
what
the lines look like, what the alignment ends up being, what the utilization is, all that's like, we'll talk more about Hunt in coming days as his usage gets sorted out.
Yep.
This comment about McKinnon taking Max and leaving less for others under the cap. That contract hasn't started yet, so
yeah, he's still on the best contract in the league this year. He also didn't take even close to Max.
Yeah.
So
wasn't Max like $16 million this year based on the cap?
Yeah, it's 20%, right? So what's 20% of $82.5 million? I don't know.
Don't do math live on air.
Yeah. Never a good idea. Yeah, you got these jerseys for us.
16.5.
Okay. There you go. So all of the reverse retros were released. They're a thing. We've never been jersey people, AJ and I. So you're probably asking the wrong people for opinions here. But
yeah, and I saw Jesse tweeted out that he liked these, and it sucks that he's not on the show today to be the dissenting voice.
I'll dissent on a couple of them. The Florida Panthers one, I think, is sick as fuck.
Okay, I think
absolutely
it's ugly.
Love it. I absolutely love the palm tree.
I'll tell you the ones that I absolutely, that are the ones that I was a hard yes were.
Okay.
The Islanders, the Kings, the Rangers, the Pens, the Caps, the Jets.
You're going in such a random order.
And I think I'll throw the Ducks in there. I really do like the Ducks.
Yeah. So I would say the Panthers, the Flames, the Lightning, the Ducks, and then
the Lightning.
Yeah, I love the 90s logo. I love it. I know it's actually ugly. I just love it.
It's the rest of the jersey that I have a problem with. The logo's fine.
The Kraken jersey I really like because it's what the Avs Stadium Series jersey should have been. Like, they actually got the logo right instead of extending it all the way up to the collar, because it would look terrible if you did that. Okay. I'm really sad about the Avs jersey because I'm tired of white jerseys. I want an Avs home with the colors on it properly. So that makes me sad. The Caps one is excellent. I agree with you there.
I've always been a fan of the Screaming Eagle. I think it's so cool. And the Lady Liberty logo for the Rangers is so sick. The Fisherman is iconic. The Crown for the Kings has always been a favorite. The Robo Penguin for the Pens. Love it. Vegas is glow in the dark.
Yeah.
And I think that's just like a neat thing more than a meaningful
doesn't
thing.
Really apply in the situations. I guess it'll glow in the dark for the pregame presentation.
Yeah. Which could look super cool or really weird. I don't even know. I like that Sens logo. I've always thought it was cool, but it's whatever. The Sharks one, like, I love the callback to the Seals.
But it's ugly as fuck.
But it's so not bland. Great.
You just wrote Sharks on a t-shirt.
Exactly. Like, that's exact. I was like, anybody else just see that they just wrote the team name on it? Like,
yeah.
And like, I get it. Like, I get it. But to me, I was just like, eh.
The ones that I like really, really hate are Montreal's.
Yep.
Nashville's and St. Louis.
Yep.
Minnesota.
I hate St. Louis's.
Yeah, St. Louis's is ugly. Minnesota, just because they stuck with the subway colors from last time for some reason.
Minnesota did the same thing, but they reversed the colors from their last jersey.
Right.
I put it in Slack. I put them side by side and was like, it's the same thing. I think that there's like some piping and some shoulder stuff that's a little different,
but still, yeah,
but it's essentially the same stuff. They still look like subway employees.
And then I've always hated that Vancouver logo too, but
so the Vancouver thing is like my only point of contention with it, because I think the logo is great, but that logo has been in use for the last couple of years by their AHL team. And so it's like, it's weird to me that it's two things that that struck me as weird about this whole project. The Canucks logo was already in use, so it's kind of a weird like throwback. It's like a throwback to something that's readily available.
Already there for sure.
Yeah. But like, I get it's like part of their history and it's cool. It is a cool logo. I do really like it. And then both the Avs and the Devils with the homage to the Rockies.
Yeah. It's kind of weird that there's two teams doing that.
And both of them have like the Devils have their regular logo, and then the Avs went with this dumbass C that they're obsessed with. Like, and I get that that's like the Colorado State like logo, but it looks like Pac-Man. It looks like the Cubs. It looks like the same thing when they used it in a Stadium Series jersey a couple years ago. Yeah. And since this is an Avs show, we'll just talk about this. But like, I think they'll probably look good on the ice. It's not that I think they're ugly. It's not that it just felt like between an actual Rockies logo, and there could be a rights issue between the Nordiques Husky, between the Nordiques regular one that they could have gone back to the well.
You retweeted the recolor of the Husky jersey, and that thing is like absolute fire.
I loved it. I was like, yep, this is exactly what I was thinking.
I don't buy jerseys, and I would have bought that jersey.
I also think that between the Yeti foot.
Yep.
The Avs had like a couple. They had some options there that they could have tapped into, and for them to go back to a logo that they used on a special edition jersey already, like, bumped me out a little bit.
Yep. Could like, be worse, but it's not great.
It just seems boring. I think it's going to look good on the ice. I'm curious to see what the whole kit looks like. But I think it'll probably look pretty good.
Yeah, they can't. If they wear the blue pants, it'll be a nightmare. But
well, if they wear like the I want to see what the whole kit looks like, of course. But yeah. I do think like it's a sharp jersey. It just feels like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. I think they could have done better pretty easily. I don't love the red NHL logo either, but that's just a personal thing. Anyway, also hilarious tagline for the Avs specifically, where it was saying history never repeats.
Yeah, history doesn't repeat or something, and you're like, aren't you guys trying to repeat
as
champions right now?
That doesn't quite add. And I know that was like the league-wide thing, but it was like, you sure? You sure that's what you want to go with?
Look, Brad, everybody knows that orange and red are interchangeable these days. Nobody seems to know the difference. Yeah, it is the tagline for the entire thing, not just the Avs. But when the Avs tweeted it out, in the series of pictures, it looked funny.
Yep. It was a bit amusing to say.
Yeah, where you were just like, it's not what you're hoping for.
So, I'm all for the NHL releasing jerseys. If you're asking me, I think they should release more jerseys. I think they should wear the Hockey Fights Cancer jerseys in a game. Would love all sorts of custom stuff on jerseys like they do in juniors. I think it's dope. AJ, not a fan.
I've always been of two minds of this. If you're going, because like, do you see, like, we didn't even talk about them, but you see Toronto didn't participate in this.
They're just like, yep, it's our old logo that we used a couple years ago. Also, don't worry about it.
they kind of just said, fuck it.
Yeah.
And then like Chicago is a great example, I think, also. How many different stadium series jerseys they've had to come up with, or how many outdoor jerseys they've had to come up with.
Yep.
And have done a bad job of it.
And now they just say, fuck it, just write Chicago on the front.
And they're like, just put Chicago in. Can we bring that graphic back up? The one with all the teams?
Nope. Denied.
I guess not. All right. I
got it.
So like, look at Chicago and Detroit. All right, we're just gonna write the city name and then we're gonna draw a bunch of fucking lines. That's it.
Yeah,
that's all we did. I liked that the Canes also did not really participate.
Yeah, they definitely have run that jersey before.
Yeah. Anyway. Chicago and Detroit are good examples. They are teams that have had to come up with some different jerseys over the years and like have not done a good job of it. That's where I am, where I'm just like, when you say the more, the better, you know, you do look at the Nuggets and like the Nuggets have those like City Connect ones that are like red.
But I'm saying like,
and you're like, these are in no way Nuggets jerseys. What the hell are they wearing?
Well, I'm saying if you're going to do that, you have to let the creativity out a little bit. You can't box them in to be like, oh, it's got to be a reverse retro homage to something before. Nah, just let them do whatever they want. Let them put a plaid on one. Call it plaid night. Do a Star Wars jersey. Who cares?
Okay. This feels like, I don't feel strongly enough about jerseys to be like, this destroys the sanctity of the jersey and you're disrespecting the logo. Like the Oilers, hilariously, like if you go and look at the one that they just released, they just put a UFO on the front of their jersey and called it good.
Oh, it's their old logo.
Yeah, it's a UFO, dude.
It's an oil drop in metal to look.
It's a UFO. Drilling. Flying into Edmonton to drop off Connor McDavid.
I will say I do.
And at this point, when they wear them, they might be there to pick him back up.
Uh, Anyway,
saying, man, it's a UFO.
I mean, look, I don't know. We're the wrong people to ask. You're a fan of White at Home too, right? So I shouldn't take any of your ideas seriously.
What?
Well, is that not you? Is that Jesse? The white jerseys at home.
At this point, I don't care.
Okay.
I mean, I used to be, you know, when they switched it, I thought it was sacrilegious, and then I got over it.
Wear your colors at home.
I don't care anymore. So
who else are you wearing them for but your fans?
All right, you make it sound like we're all in a gang.
Wear your colors. Kind of are, yeah.
All right, everybody, every meet up at the spot, and make sure you wear your colors that night at 7 p.m. Our fan base is just big gangs?
We're on to something here. This is how soccer hooliganism starts, all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Any final thoughts on Hunt, on jerseys, on anything else today? Dude.
I don't think it's I think the whole like reverse retro branding is silly. I think that it's like blatantly like let's Money exploit your nostalgia, yeah. But they did such a poor job of it. So many of the fan bases out there today are like,
these jerseys kind of suck, and you've done this already.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, you want more jerseys, like, you really want 32 variations of a Star Wars jersey?
I mean, I don't want it to be league-wide. I want every team to just do whatever jerseys they want.
Yeah, and Enrique is correct. I mentioned this earlier today to somebody when I was talking about it, but it's not hard to see why the NHL and Adidas were like, we should not continue this partnership.
Yeah. It didn't work out.
Yeah, maybe their most successful jersey that they had was that Nordiques throw retro that they refused to reprint.
Yep.
That would have just been massive amounts of money.
They could just tell us tomorrow they're reprinting that, and it would print dollars.
Yeah. Tons of people missed out on that and stopped it from being the most popular jersey in Ball Arena.
Yep, straight up. So, anyway, we're going to get out of here for the day. Maybe I'll screw around and make a tier list of the jerseys just for fun and throw it out there.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where, you know, we have a lot of time coming up in the next couple of weeks where we're going to have to kill some shows. So maybe that's what we do.
Anyway. We're going to get out of here for today. We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us. We're back tomorrow and Saturday with pregame, watch-along, postgame. So be sure to tune in for all of our game coverage. Other than that, we will talk to you on the next one.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.